Welcome back to the PFRPA podcast. I'm your host, Brian DeMarco, and today I am here with Jamarca Sanford. Jamarca, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Fabulous. Glad to be here. You know, glad for y'all to have me.
Let's talk about here. We are in Miami.
Yes, right? One of the best cities I ever been to. So I'm gonna say it's the best.
Yeah. Are you from this area originally?
Well, I stay here now, but I'm originally from Mississippi.
So you live here in Miami.
Yes.
Man, what is that like?
I mean, it don't get
Are you staying out of trouble, man?
Definitely staying out of trouble. You know, I'm a family man. You know, but I mean, it's one of the greatest cities. Just waking up every day to sunlight. You know, and you know, year round. You know, you have to travel off to get cold weather. So, I mean, that's one thing that I love about it.
Yeah, it's just absolutely beautiful here. I love this area. So let's wind it back for folks, and let's talk a little bit about you and your playing career. Then we're going to talk about things like your transition, and then I want to talk about what you're doing now, what you have going on. So give me some bio on your playing history. College, where'd you go to school? Tell me about your NFL career, where you played.
Well, I started off played high school football in Mississippi. It's called University of South Panola. We call it the University.
I can't tell by that accent, right?
We call it University of South Panola because, you know, we know how to play football there. You know, we got like 12 championships and went off and got a degree. Well, got a scholarship, I'm sorry. Got a scholarship to University of Mississippi.
Okay.
And played redshirted my first year and started after that and played my next 4 years. And luckily got drafted by the Minnesota Vikings in the seventh round, 31st pick. And,
nice.
You know, went there and I knew, you know, I caught a one-way flight. I knew I couldn't leave. couldn't go back to Mississippi, not under their terms. So I had to go back to Mississippi under my own terms. And ended up playing up there for 5 years and stayed there from 2009 to 2014 and went to Washington Redskins. Played there like 3 weeks, had a coffee stop.
Right?
A coffee stop. Right? Drunk that, a cup of coffee, that, cup, that of cup,
cup of coffee,
coffee.
Right?
So then, you know, they released me, and I ended up going to New Orleans Saints in 2014 and played there from 14 to 16 and ended up retiring after my 16th year due to injuries and, you know, just multiple injuries after injuries. And
That's all of us, though, right?
I mean,
it all ends because we all get hurt.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
You know, not too many of us just to tip the cap and say, hey, well, I'll see you later. You
right
know?
Now, it hardly ever, 99% right? of the time, it don't end that
way. I just feel like retiring today. You know, right? We all dream about that.
Right.
I think it's just from those old movies, right, when you see, like, I don't know, Babe Ruth type moments.
The happy
right?
ending.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yes.
Instead, it's a black trash
bag.
And sneaking out the back door. All
right. You come in one day, next day, they're kicking you out.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing to return again.
That's what I used to tell rookies all the time. I go, you see that name above locker, right? You see why it slides.
It
out.
Slides.
Right? It's not permanent.
At all. Right. You can leave there tomorrow and come back and somebody else name there. You're like, man, I was there for 10 years and now out of nowhere I'm gone. Like,
man,
it happened
you know,
like that.
You know, and it's funny that, you know, one of the things I've learned is you know, no one is bigger than the game.
No, never, never.
You know, and if you look back on the history of sports, you know, I remember when Joe Montana left the 49ers, actually went and played for the Chiefs for a little bit, and then with his eventual retirement, so we thought, okay, the 49ers will never be the same.
Right.
Right, which wasn't true.
Right.
Right? You know, but you think, and once you retired, you think, oh, you know, football is never going to be the same. And the other big one was when Michael Jordan retired. Well,
right.
For the final time.
Right.
The NBA will never be the same. There'll never be another Jordan. And then here we go. You know, we got guys like LeBron, of course, and then Kobe. Oh, my gosh. Well, that's probably a good transition as any right there.
It is.
So, you know, you talk about Kobe, you know, Kobe Bryant and his unfortunate passing. I think it broke everybody's heart.
Whether
you were a fan or not. He was such a huge figure and obviously, you know, just great family man.
Right.
He was a great humanitarian. But, you know, even guys like Kobe who were so great, the game moves.
It's moved. It's like life, right. You know. You lose someone important, and you think, "Oh, how can I move on? You know, move forward without this person?" And you have to find a way. You know, it's just life. You know, it's tough, but you know, like the game of football. You know, you no matter how big your name is, you're replaceable, and the game gonna continue to grow and continue to move on with or without you. So
yeah,
just have to enjoy, you know, the time you're there, and just know, you know, it's gonna end one day.
Well, and you take that same thing, that same thought process over to the transition from being an NFL player to being a normal civilian.
Right, right.
Which, you know, you're still in the thick of, because yes, you didn't retire till 2016,
yes,
right? You know, mine was forever ago. Oh, my gosh, it's been 20 years.
It's crazy how fast it goes.
Oh, my
now.
Gosh, it's been 20 years. Well, you know, like I shared with you before we started filming, it took me a good 5 years to yeah, figure things out and, right, and to find out. The truth of it is, every man needs purpose.
Yes, definitely, right? Definitely.
And we talked about, you know, in my personal experience, I had this time period where I was just so lost. Right. Like, I didn't know what to do with myself. Why work out? Why do anything? You know, and I was hurt, too. I had a right, really bad injury coming out of the league. So, you know, I had all these things going on, but just that loss. So, you know, what do you, from your perspective, what's the answer here? What's the answer to really help guys? Everybody's talking about transition now. You see transition coaches popping up all over LinkedIn.
Right.
Too many at times, right?
Right, right, right.
What do you think the answer is? What do guys need?
I don't think I just have an answer, but I would say, you know, just try to find something else that you would like to do outside of football, you know, because, you know, we've been doing this our whole life, so it's kind of hard, you know. You play football so much, you go through training camp, you go through the season, and you're traveling week in and week out. Come the off season, all you want to do is go somewhere like Miami and, you know, enjoy the vacation, because you know you only have that short window where you will be back to work, and it's okay, locked. You got to lock right back in. So the time, your free time, you're really trying to enjoy yourself and, you know, see family members and travel. So you really can't even focus on what's your next move after football. So
yeah,
I think that's a big thing too, but I mean, I would say, you know, just find something that you got a passion for, and no matter what it is, you know, just find something outside that can take your time from football, because you never know when it's over. You know, they always have people come in and talk to you. You know, you got your older guys, vets come in. When you're a rookie, you know, I heard it a lot, you know, hey, start doing this or start doing that, you know. Start focusing on what you want to do after football, and you like, bro, I'm going to play 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that. Like, I worry yeah, about that then, but you don't realize tomorrow it can be over with. And, like, for my situation, it was like after blue it ended. You know, I had a hip injury and never was the same after it. And so, like, football just ended, and you're going to go through that dark moment. Like,
yeah,
I had a dark moment where, you know, from, I'm going to say from 16, really all 16, because I actually ended my career on IR. That's when I had my hip surgery.
Yeah.
So it was difficult going through that year of not going without football. And it's doing something that you do every day. You know, you locked in, you going to the locker room, you enjoying the fellas, you going out practicing. Everything is just fun, and out of nowhere, it's just like you're in the dark by yourself. Like, that's your family. Like, you're not with your family. Your family, you know, that you were raised
right,
with. It's more of now your football is your family. So
right,
once they take that away, it's like they taking part of your life away.
Yeah.
So now it's like when the reality really set in is when you not able to go over there to hit the sauna or the steam room. You have to find somewhere to work out. And you look around, you like, man, these everyday people that, you know, going to work and, you know, doing, you know,
yeah,
enjoying yeah, their lives and, you know, just living their lives. But you didn't see that side because you had the facility to work out with. You had
right,
your guys that you hung with every day. So it's a life changer. Like, it's
yeah,
it's something, like you said, that every player gonna deal with. Even, you know, if you got it figured out, it's like it's still gonna be a difficult thing to do, yeah, because it's, you want to compete as a football player. You want to compete,
and we're so, you know, we're so locked away and sequestered
right,
when we're playing, right? So your life really becomes the, you know, you have your home, of course,
right?
But then you have your second home, which is your facility,
yes,
and the travel between there, and that's really about it.
That's it,
right? And so your world becomes that atmosphere, and just in the strangeness of, you know, I tell folks this a lot of, you know, you're in the NFL, you know, you're making a lot of money. All your friends make a lot of money.
Right.
So you, just how just demented and how that changes your perception of reality.
Yes.
And so when that hits you, when you're done, so automatically was figuring out how to not spend money.
Right.
Because
I'm
not going to make this anymore.
Right.
Like, oh, my gosh, there's no more game checks coming in. No
right,
bonuses. No,
right.
You know, and figuring out how to downsize quickly. And as we know, a lot of guys go through problems with that, really struggle with that. And you know, the reality is I think some guys are beginning to see the light a little bit earlier. And I think you can attest to this. You know, when guys come to talk to you and they say, you know, NFL, not for long, and get ready for the next phase. And but when we're there, we're like, yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm going to be fine.
Right.
I'm going to play for 10 years. I'm going to ride off into the sunset.
Right.
right. Me, I was just going to go hunting for the rest of my life, man. I was going to cowboy up, get on my horse and ride. That's how I thought my retirement would go.
Right.
And it was anything but that. And I had the darkest of days, man. I thought there was a couple year period in there where I thought I was going to be another NFL suicide statistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was in that dark of a space. And as we know, that the mental health aspect of this is a real, real deal. You know, and there's so many things that guys need to, you know, we see them falling into these pitfalls, whether it's, you know, it's opioid addiction, it's drinking, it's all this stuff, just trying to drown out reality, right? So how do you think, when it comes to the transition, just from your perspective, what do you think we need to do? Because personally, I think we need to take it on as NFL brothers.
Right.
We need to kind of more open arms, welcome each other in. I know that's a big part of why the PFRPA has been established, right? So what do you think that one important thing is? Like, how do we begin to help guys better adjust to the transition period?
I think like conversation like we're having now, you know, you see – you know, former players really talk about their situation, because as men, we don't really want to never open up and tell our situation.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think you don't even go through it because you don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And I think the more we talk about it, players are going to really open their ears and realize, like, man, this guy here played 15 years or 14 years. He's dealing with the same problem that the guy played 2 years or 5 years, you know. So everybody dealing with the same problem. I think it's just more of making a topic to talk about and actually, you know, talking to the guys. And I think today is – like you said, you see the transition a little better than, you know, you normally recently saw it in years, because the social media platform that they have.
For sure.
So it's like you build up your network of who you are. You know, as football player, we have a helmet on. It's not like basketball player where everybody know you once they see you. Like, they don't really identify you unless, you know, Peyton Manning or Drew Brees, somebody.
Right.
But the regular, just normal football player that everybody don't know you.
Or you're a 6'7" gorilla.
Exactly.
or they don't know you're a football player. That's it.
Right.
You're either WWE wrestler, football player, right? So I get it.
So things like that, you know, I think that's what's going to help us, you know, help transition. But it's like you got a platform now where you can build your brand yourself and put out to the people who you are and, you know you beside the football player that you are.
Massively important point you just made. And I think guys are doing it really much, much better now, building your own personal brand and creating value in your brand. Because, you know, we tell guys this all the time. If you played a down one snap in the NFL, you have brand value.
Yes,
there's some brand equity there. It may be in your hometown.
Right.
Maybe in your college town.
Right.
You know, or in your pro town across the country. But no matter what, there is equity in your own personal brand, and it's just so critically important to build. Because, heck, when I was done, I officially retired in 2001. I mean, think about it. There's no Facebook.
Right.
There's no LinkedIn or nothing. Twitter, Instagram.
Right.
I mean, that stuff.
So it's even more difficult. It's more difficult for someone like that. So now you seeing it now from when you retired. It's like, man, I wish I had half of what these guys have today.
Yeah.
But it's guys like in my situation – still lost, you know, and got all these, you know, networks that you can network with and build your brand. So, I mean, just something, like I said, I think we just need to talk about amongst each other so you can know that you're not the only one dealing with a situation.
Because we all know this kind of inherently, but it's kind of like, you know, we just met today.
Right.
Right. So whatever that unique thing is of this brotherhood, like that instant bond.
Right.
As soon as we knew.
Right.
We each played, shared a little bit of experience. Like, we're just brothers.
Right. We can relate. We went through the same thing.
Right. And so I just think that's so uniquely special. The only thing that I have found even close to that is military veterans.
Yes.
These guys coming back because they get it. There's something. Look, when you – the sweat, blood, sweat, and tears, right? Yes. When you push yourself to the kind of limits that we push each other to, you know, when it's revealing your true character of who you really are in those moments, that's where I think that's where this bond just gets totally cemented.
Yes.
Right?
Because you have a different respect for guys. You know, you know what this guy put his body through for you, not just for himself, but for his team. You know, just the chemistry you have just hanging out, you know, just having a good time and then going on the field and working together, you know, and putting the work in. I mean, it just built a bond, like you said, it, you know, it can't be broken. You know, we walk right in this room. We never saw each other. And, like, right off, we, like, just connected because, you know, we have similarities or the things we've been through and, you know, just football. I mean, that's one thing I love about sports. It brings – I don't care what your nationality is or what your religion is. Like, we come together as brothers, and none of that matter, you know.
Ever.
We love each other for who we are, you know.
As a matter of fact, I've been talking about that a lot lately, and I think the world needs to emulate the locker room a little bit more.
Yes.
Because we grew up in an environment playing football.
Right.
I don't even think that ever had, like, crossed my mind at any point in time, whether what race you were, what faith you were.
No, it didn't matter. Like, it didn't matter.
It was just playing ball.
We're here for one thing, baby. We're trying to win, and we're going to work together, man.
That's
right. Like I said, none of that matter. Like, that's one thing I like about sport. It brings you together. Like, you never walk in a locker room and see one race or one religion.
Right.
Everybody's
– You can either ball or you can't.
Like, exactly.
And do I want you to have you on my team?
Exactly.
And okay, once you prove yourself, right, and that bond is just – it's just so unique, man. So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now. You're 4 years out from retiring now.
Yes.
I'm 20.
But I'm
thinking, my gosh, that's scary, man.
You're saying 20, and I'm like, wow. I'm like four already?
Wow, I know. It's unbelievable, man. Because in Jacksonville this year, they got this notice. It was the 25-year anniversary of that first team. And so, like, holy cow. So I think about, like, your age group that you grew up with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Carolina Panthers. You were seeing them. You knew.
Right.
They were just a team.
Right.
So when we got there, it was like people treat us like we were a CFL team. Like, is that an NFL?
Right. Disrespect.
And it still didn't feel real for me. Because I remember the very first year in 95, we played in the Hall of Fame game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited. It's my first pro game. But we were playing against the Carolina Panthers. So still, just didn't feel right. I was like, this isn't a league. You don't see those logos anywhere, right? It really didn't hit me, actually, until that very next week we played the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
And that's when it hit me.
Yeah.
Like, all right, Dan Marino's, I'm running out in the field to go warm up. And I'm seeing Dan Marino over there warming up, throwing passes. I'm going, holy crap, I'm in the NFL, man.
Hey, right? It's Dan Marino.
It's true. I did that because it's funny. Dave Wydell, who is our center then, he played about maybe 7 or 8 years for the Broncos before that. And I just remember him smacking me in the back of my head and we're running down the field. I was going, hey, Dave. I was like, that's Dan Marino. He smacks me in the back of the head. He's like, kid, you're in the league now.
You're going to see a lot more of him.
Oh, man. So anyway, let's talk about what you're doing now. What do you got going on business-wise?
Well, business-wise, I'm into real estate now. I'm an investor. I have my license, too, real estate license. But I'm aiming more towards the investment side. So I'm doing my first office building right now. And we should be done in a couple weeks.
Are you doing it here in the South Florida area?
It's out. Kendall area, out towards Kendall area.
Okay, very cool, man.
So I got my first project, so I'm very excited about that. And that's my first project. And I also have a app. Me and my friend, Mike Orr, that's one of my best friends.
Oh, yeah.
We got together and we're doing an app right now. So,
what's the app all about? Tell me all about
Good Deeds. It's Good Deeds. So
good
it's
deeds.
Basically like connecting people. Like, that. You know, you go to Goodwill and give stuff to them, or sell stuff back to them. Or you give it to them and they sell it, or however, but we want to create a platform where we can connect people within your community that you can connect through the app, and whoever, whatever you need, you can connect each other and just give it to them. directly instead of, donating to
whoever. That's
actually whoever
really cool, man.
Yeah, so we it's right now that's in the works.
So do you have a website?
Oh, not right not now. It's in the future. So in about another we pushing towards May for it to drop.
Okay.
So right now we're still working on it.
So by the time this hits, this may be in that time frame, right? Depending where it is in the cycle. But we got. I'll give you my card.
Okay.
Stay
then.
In touch. Shoot me an email, like wherever we can
send
people.
All right,
people
we'll do. We'll do.
For sure. So good deeds. That's actually really cool. I actually, it reminded me of something. I live in a really small town outside of Austin, right? Mm-hmm. So our office is in Austin, right? But I live outside, way out in the country, and this is kind of the funniest thing. I think it's maybe just a Southern thing.
Yeah.
But there's this table that sits on the side of the road, and it has for years.
Mm-hmm.
And people just put stuff on it, right? And, like, giving it away. Like, nicer things, like giving it away. Like, oh, you know, whether it be clothing, they'll put it in a box and kind of secure it. But it was a place for people on this country road. You just know it's there.
Yeah.
Everybody in the neighborhood does. And you stop by, see what people are just giving away. And if you take something, you're supposed to leave something.
Oh, okay.
Right? So literally, it's a table just like the one we're sitting at, and it just has a few things on it. But if you go and you take something, you give something back.
That's awesome.
I know. It's been going on for years.
And it's still there.
Still there. Awesome. And people still do it, man. It's just really neat little thing, man. It's, you know, I think it's a cool Southern thing.
Yeah.
I think some of our Yankee friends may not get that.
Yeah.
But right?
But Southern, we get it. South. We get it. We always trying to help, you know, find a way to help
each other.
Stop
and help people.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
So that's that's one of the reasons why we were trying to come up with something, and Good Deed was, you know, the thing we came up with, you know, like I said, connect people to give, you know, whatever you want to give back within your community, or you can go wherever, because, you know, you always see different people, you know, you go to the grocery store, they say donate to wherever and donate to this person, but you never know where it's going. So if you actually got something that you want to, you know, put on the app and you know, take a picture of it and send it on the app, and whoever in need, you know, you just basically connect y'all together where you know your stuff getting directly getting gave to this family. So it's like,
oh my
you know,
gosh, that's cool. And doing that on a community level, I could see that spreading across the country. That's really cool. What a concept.
Yes.
Man,
yes. I mean, we hopefully, you know, everything, you know, working our favor, and it should be out, like I said, no later than May.
Oh, that's cool. How long y'all been working on that app?
We were shooting for December to drop it, but it was a few things we needed to figure out before we drop it, so we pushed the date back a few more months. So we've been working on it since probably, I'd say, September, October, somewhere.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the business world and the real world education and the time, the things you think you know when you're playing, like you're just going to snap into business.
Right.
And one of the things that drives me crazy, and I'm going to say it again, guys, just because you play in the NFL does not mean your business is going to win.
No, never. That don't mean nothing. That's a whole nother ball game.
Nobody cares.
Right. Nobody cares about that. No.
Nobody cares.
I mean, it's a different world, like you say, you know. I mean, you coming from, like I said, doing something that you know out the back of your mind, you close your eyes doing, you know, football, and to going into something that you have no clue about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my recommendation is actually finding someone that's in that field that you can really guide you and, you know, put you in the right direction, because trying to get into something that you know nothing about, I mean, it's pretty difficult.
Yeah, I had I've been very blessed to have a couple of very successful companies.
Yes.
But I remember just the learning curve was massive. And I knew, too, that putting that CEO by my name, it wasn't something that I took lightly. Matter of fact, it was years before I would even allow myself to do it. In the beginning, when my first company, I'd put dumb things like Grand Poobah, you know. I'll put founder in there, something, because the guys that were mentoring me, like, these were CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so much learning to do in the business world. I mean, these guys were like, you know, CEOs of New York Stock Exchange traded billion-dollar companies.
Right.
That was a CEO to me. So one of the things that bothered me about retired players is that you'd see so many guys just putting CEO by their name because they went and filed for an LLC.
Right. And they think that's it,
That's it.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. There's so much, you know.
So much going to it that you don't have a clue.
Yeah, especially, you know, if whether you're an LLC or a C-Corp or an S-Corp. I mean, board meetings and minutes and, you know, financial reports. I mean, you know the deal. But it's amazing. It's one of the things I tell guys too, and I think you're exactly right, surrounding yourself with people that have been there, done that.
Yes.
In the business world, so that you can just start that learning process.
Right.
And put, you know, and put that same energy that you put into football
into that
in your business world,
and you're gonna be just fine. I mean, just exactly what you just said, because I mean the thing about football, it prepares you for whatever you're gonna go through in life.
Right.
It's just you have to find something that you love, just like you love football, and put that same energy into it, because if not, it's not gonna work. I mean, just like football, if you don't put that same energy,
right,
it's not gonna work. But like I said, it comes down to surrounding yourself around the right people. Like I live by the saying, you are who you hang around.
I mean,
you're trying to learn a business, you can't hang around a bunch of your friends that don't know nothing about just throwing ideas out the wall. Oh, man, we can do this. Let's open up this restaurant. I know this. But you know nothing about the business side of it. You have an idea about some good food you're talking about, but you don't know
right.
nothing about the permit you're going to need to build this building, the impact fees.
Yeah.
I mean, so much go into it that, like, with my first project, it's like I didn't have a clue. I thought, you know, you can find a commercial property. You can just build whatever you want, long as commercial. Did not have a clue that you have to
right.
get permits. You got to get impact fees. Like, you have to do all this just to do
work.
This.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I didn't know. And if I didn't have my father-in-law to help me and guide me through it, I would be lost. I wouldn't know what to do. And it's easily get screwed over by someone that know the business
that,
you tied to the wrong person.
Thing. And that's a big thing. I tell guys. Especially when you still have a little money,
right?
People will see you coming.
They see you as a money
people.
Sign. You're a money sign walking up,
just
like,
money, and they're going to take it from you because you don't know,
yeah, right? Because you don't have a clue. You don't know what you don't know.
And I remember my early days. I would be impressed by anybody that used big business words,
mm-hmm.
and I go, "Wow, they must be really smart. They know exactly what they're doing." Next, you know, they're ripping you off, and you're.
Yeah. Right.
You're 100,000 short.
Right, exactly.
Right?
I mean,
like,
I saw so many of them stories. It's like, it's sad,
yeah.
man. Like, it's people out here really doing people like that? And, it happened to people every day.
Yeah. It's just like anything else, though, man. Like you said, it's surrounding yourself with good people.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, that's 90% of the battle right there. Surrounding your circle. Having the right circle. Because I always say, you are what you hang around.
All right, man. That's awesome. Jamarco, this has been great, man.
Thank you,
man.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for hanging out.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it, man.
All right.
All right. Until next time.